Here we go. Good evening, BBS Radio. Thank you all for those who are dialing in through BBS Radio online. We have the phone lines open, and we are gathering together here on the conference call in combination with you guys online. Thank you for being here.
I have some good news come my way today. I have a project up on Kickstarter.com, and it will go live tomorrow. It's under Teresa Ann Lamoran's debut album, My Life Unfolding.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good luck with that, Teresa. And how does that work? Can you explain a little bit about it?
Sure. You just go to Kickstarter.com, which is KickStarter.com. And then it will give you an opportunity to say what project. There'll be like a little window where you can put in what you want to see, and then you just put in Teresa Ann Lamoran's debut album, My Life Unfolding. If you have an email, Hive, I could send it to you, and maybe you could pass it on to whoever's interested.
Yes. Hey, send it to Wynn, to any of his just on any return email. And then.
Okay, I will do that. I got him on my list to send out. I was just waiting for it to go live.
Great.
And I can do that.
We had a few more people come in. I welcome you guys. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Michael in Camino, California.
I did copy Michael in Marina. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you.
And who else showed up? Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi.
Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, hi.
Thank you for being here. And I heard somebody else in the background. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Kim in Florida.
Hi, Kim. How are you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
All right. Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. I hear a cat. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Yeah. Hey, Susan. Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Hello, other Susan in Michigan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
You go in second. You have to be other Susan.
OG. Whereabouts did you see the Tesla? Are you like Shaker Heights, Pepper Pike up there?
I live in Brecksville, if you know the area. I was down in Akron, Farallon. I mean, it was in the parking lot. Very cool looking. I suppose a lot of people have seen the Who Killed the Electric Car documentary, probably on the line here.
It's just one of the things that, you know, free energy is out there. You know, it's a misconception that it is not. When 100 years ago, Nikola Tesla had a car doing 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, I heard that. The little black box in there and some kind of...
Well, the thing is, the United States... Anything that creates great efficiency goes under the umbrella of national security and gets pulled out of the hands of the people and gets thrown on a shelf with the 3,000 other devices. So people need
the oil companies wouldn't like it very much either.
My friends sell oil, my friends sell gas, my friends sell coal. But we're being robbed of it. I mean, if we didn't have the metal ropes everywhere, it would be a much better place. But
people joining in, good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
This is Terry.
Good evening, Wynn and Terry.
Good evening, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Wynn. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Wynn. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, Heiss. Are you there? It's Sedona Jim here.
Hello, Sedona Jim. Welcome to the call.
Hello, my dear friend. I'm so happy you're well.
Hey.
You know, Jim is actually starting to believe that we're legit.
All right.
I didn't recognize that megalophonous voice that just came over the phone. Could that have been Wynn?
Yes, and I believe it's you too, because I'm reading your book, and it's really nice.
I am a dictionary. What was that description of Wynn? What was that word?
Megalophonous. Megalophonous.
I'm talking about the book from Raymond. It was a really nice book.
Oh, you're reading Raymond's book. Oh.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Very nice.
Remind me to send you the picture of Jim and Raymond, okay? I better ask his permission.
When your line is not so clear.
It isn't.
Hey, the person who was talking about that Tesla vehicle was called the Pierce Arrow.
All right.
The one in 1910?
Yes.
There's a story that somebody in Buffalo, New York had seen that car on the road. I think Tesla was...
All right, the entry next times are offered now. I know a few more people came in, and if you have a chance, say your name and location. But of course, only if you want to.
Hello, this is Sedna. Good evening,
Abend.
Good Abend. Good, thank you.
That's like Shia.
You mentioned about the Tesla car, the name of what? A movie?
There's a movie called Who Killed the Electric Car.
Yes. All right, I got that written down. Now, Dave, you mentioned another name, right?
Yeah, it was called the Pierce Arrow.
Pierce Arrow.
That was
the
vehicle that he...
Right.
He pulled the motor out. He put an electric motor in its place with the wires just hanging there. His box was put on the dash, and it wirelessly transmitted the electricity into the motor. No wires connected. The gentleman who he had riding in a car with him was J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan wasn't going to finance him until he figured out that he couldn't meter the electricity or charge people for it. And Tesla got disheartened, and he was saddened and hurt, and he grabbed his box and walked out.
Great piece of history. What people need to think about the one thing that you hear every now and then, or maybe you've heard or maybe you haven't heard, is that 1 foot of cubic air in a vacuum has enough energy in it to boil the world's ocean. Now, if 1 foot of air can do that in a vacuum, what are we doing with, nuclear, which is going to poison us for 250,000 years of toxic waste, or gas, or oil, or coal? It's a lie. Mm-hmm. 100 years ago was that technology. That technology has been held from us. Because, again, in the United States, anything that has that great efficiency goes under the umbrella of national security and is pulled off the shelf. You're given money, and it's pulled out of the people's hands, which is ridiculous. I think that's part of the awakening of these conversations, where we look at the fact and say, you know what? The world isn't quite the way we need.
What? If they can stop those chemtrails, I'm going to be very happy. I can see my blue sky. Now I can't even see my blue sky because those chemtrails are killing us.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they should stop. They should run out of money so they don't do it no more.
Well, I think we as a group, with the Sender Grid Healing Call, give it some extra effort with sending love light to blue skies. I think we can make a significant difference.
I really like, and I pass out as a thing for people as a mental, and we as a group take on a mental image that says everything that we see as negative, just line them up like black dominoes. And in our mind's eye, just knock them all down. And just say, you know, whether it be as big as a stadium or whatever, just thousands, they got to go down. No longer required. And if we come through with that mental image, go back to what Carla said. For every person, that's 100. The next person is 2. The next is 4. The next is 8. It's a doubling effect. Mm-hmm. So we need to take advantage of that. And ultimate reality, you know, look at the 100 monkey rule. And say, you know what? We have decided as a group that this is no longer acceptable. And we choose something else because it's a free will zone. Mm-hmm. Our free will has been imposed upon.
Yes, we always remain having the freedom of thinking what we want to think, and our thoughts are the biggest power. So,
as a man thinker,
there's a good show on Coast to Coast last Wednesday. George Barnes, I think, was his name. He did a lot of chemtrails. He has a documentary film out, I think.
All right. Hi. Is my voice not good?
It is not optimum, so to speak. I can hear you loud and clear, but it's not optimum.
All right. I think I left my phone at the local restaurant. So I'm on the wrong phone, so I think we'll have to endure.
It will do.
Okay. All right. Is Dwayne here?
Yes.
Dwayne is here?
Yes.
Is that Dwayne?
Yes, of course.
do you have a headache?
Do I have a headache? I have an eye ache.
An eye ache.
Yeah.
You know, I had a dream. And the dream was, if all these people on our conference call don't graduate this realm, I'm going to have to come back and get them.
It's a nightmare.
Well, I got my ticket ready.
All right. Let me get settled here. And of course, Kerry had to come back and get me. Did you know that?
Right.
One of those classic spirals.
Kerry from Utah.
That was a situation that you had way back when with Daphne, wasn't it, Wynn?
No, that was Terry.
I think the situation was might have been reversed there.
That was a situation that you had way back when.
In another lifetime, you mean? We better not talk about that. I will get in trouble. The walls have ears.
All right, this is Wednesday evening, 6:12. We're live on BBS Radio. I welcome all those who are listening to through BBS Radio. And
I hope you don't mind hearing us fool around here.
All right, this is Wednesday evening, 6:12.
There we go. Okay, we're muted. Terry, I just want to make sure you're not ready.
Yeah, I'm not ready. But here I am.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 4th, 2013. And we're almost a year after December 21st, and the world is still here. And This is our evening where everyone submits questions. Now, you know what? Some people on the internet that may not be getting on the list of how to submit questions, I should mention that. Just write this down. If you have a question that you'd like answered on a Wednesday night, send it to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And sometimes people send questions on another email address, and I try to catch it, but sometimes I miss it, because that is the email address that I look for to find questions we have for tonight. And, you know, it's a very good thing to ask a question. I got an email last week from somebody that had asked a question. I should read it. I don't have it handy. But they were saying that when I asked their question, they could feel the Elohim come into their space. They could feel a shift in their energy, because we would have to think that if they're looking at someone to answer a personal type question, then they would have to come into your space and into your field and check you out. And a long time ago, I had asked a question. And that the question I asked was, when we ask a question on somebody's behalf, this is actually when Terry first started channeling. This was in 2002, 2003, and I was experimenting. I didn't know they could know everything. At that point, I didn't know what the outer reaches of this was. And I asked the question. I started asking questions on behalf of other people, and they knew the answers. I asked someone, "Could I ask this question?" And they said, okay. And so I would ask the question, and, Terry, are you in the kitchen?
Yeah, I'm getting a drink of water.
Well, I won't tell anybody, it's you. Okay. We'll keep it a secret. They asked, so I asked some questions. And then I asked the question was, and the question was, when we ask a question on behalf of someone else, is there a benefit to that besides the answer to the question? In other words, besides the guidance or the wisdom that comes through, is there any other benefit? And the answer was, when you ask a question on behalf of somebody, we have to go into their field and check it out to answer the question. And that when they left their field, they left a track that the person, if they chose to follow the track, could have more chance of making an energetic connection with them. So when we offer this here, and even if you ask what you think is a dumb question, and you know, something that's going on in your life that you think, I don't want to ask that, I don't want anyone to know that, I suggest take advantage, follow your pride, let it hang out, send in your question, because it's such a rare opportunity to make this connection. So on that note, we have our questions for this evening lined up, and thank you all for asking questions and sending them in tonight. Father, Mother, God, We ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? Terry, you might be muted.
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 4th December 2013, planet Earth and the third dimension. And we take a moment and we connect with the energies of the planet. And from there, we connect with the individual people. We see the telephone lines and we see the radio waves, and we, only the voice, are coming through that. We are coming directly. When we first started channeling over the BBS radio, we were working on how to access everything, and it was a feeling for us of a deadening by coming and utilizing the wires. And so we come directly to you, and we only through the voice come over the DBS and over the telephone. And we thank technologies for being able to provide a means for us to come together within the sound of the voice. As Terry said to yourself aside, that we may take this moment in time to come in and be with you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question. This is from Don Herman. And Don, thank you. Every week you submit a really good question. Thank you for your good question. It has been said that people should not give away their power. What power do people potentially have? What keeps them from realizing and using their power? How can people reclaim their power?
Thank you. Power comes about when there is a harmonious connection within the individual, within the connection with his body, within the connection with his her mind, within the connection with his mentality, within the connection within the outside sphere, so that there can be coordination in legitimate, logical connection. We look at the word logical We don't know that that is the exact correct word. We may instead wish to use the word workable and the word sane connection. Although, then it comes into a question of if it is power when one is making an insane connection, insane pushing for something to happen. It still is power, but it is not logical power. It is not power that connects harmoniously, making everything, all the factors in synchronization so that you get the best result for the body, for the mind, for the soul, for the society, and are able to walk through this with your own protection and growth. However, when one wishes to instigate something that is not generally accepted, but wishes to put it into effect, the expression of power, then it comes into the question of force. Sometimes can make a great sweeping change. For instance, Alexander the Great conquering a part of the world, installing different mores, installing different goals or ideals, different religious figures, can also make changes. These are a resetting of current conditions, which then people tend to fall instead and get used to and make sudden changes, or then slow changes also in the world. Power would come under all those categories, and as one reaches growth, the ultimate growth, then they will be able to take all factors into consideration in their use of power.
You know, I wanted to make a couple of comments on that question, and then I was going to ask another question. There was, from my experience, when we talk about power, we would look at power and desire. In other words, desire means we want something. And when we desire something, that thing that we desire has the potential to control us. And when you're controlled, you're now under the direction of something outside yourself. And, for example, I'm sure people understand how you can lose control because you desire a partner or someone to love, or you desire money, and you do things because there's a potential for money, and someone that has money has the potential to control you. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be that way. It doesn't mean you can't deal with someone with money and not be controlled, or you can't love someone without being controlled. But there is a great potential to feel controlled by power, by things you desire. And on the other hand, the things that you desire thrust you forward, and they move you towards things. They give you learning experiences. And the other aspect of power is when you move forward to do something, how many of your fuses, how many of your spark plugs are sparking? You have a hologram, and your hologram extends into other dimensions. And even it extends potentially into the area of where the Elohim group, where the higher group souls are. And remember that everything is one. So they are you. You're them. And they made an analogy one evening that it was like riding a bicycle that transfers the energy to the rear wheel, which allows you to move much faster or have a lot more power. And that they were like the transfer of energy. So when you start to pedal down here and you access their energy, or the higher energies, then the things you do, as long as it's all in an alignment, have more attached to them, have more ability to occur, because you're now operating not just by the sweat of the brow, as Jesus said, because when you're not accessing all of that, and you're doing things just in an earthly way, you are operating by the sweat of the brow. And so those are my comments about power. And, you know, the question came up in me as we were reading the question of Don's, had to do with desire, desirelessness. You know, on one hand, desire keeps us in a certain trajectory, keeps us gravitating towards things. Feeling need makes us reach for things that could potentially fill us. On the other hand, if you would read Buddhism, then they would say the enlightened state is one of desirelessness, where one has no desire. And I would like to pose the question, how do we confront, does one really have to be desireless to be enlightened?
Thank you. First, we would like to comment that there is more power in alliance, true alliance, when you have others aligned with you than in force. And force indicates that one is making something happen against resistance. And with people sensing that they're making something happen, but they do not have the full cooperation of the people that they are working with. When one has the full cooperation and one is allied with those working with them in desire, so that the individual has a desire and it is aligned with the desire of those that one is working with, then it can be very helpful in working towards a goal. Where one gets into difficulty is when one desires something and then they have to override their own feelings when the object of their desire does not come about. When they cannot achieve the thing that they desire, then there is frustration, and then there is anxiety, and then there is hopelessness, and it catapults one into a range of anger and numerous feelings that if one was able to see all sides, the whole picture at the same time, then one could be desirous of something. And if they could see all factors, then they would be able to moderate or adjust their own matrix, their own view, to stay in sync with the now and to be able to move into their greatest opportunity and power, because they are taking into consideration all of the others in the picture that help achieve a desire. And if those others are not in alignment, then they're simply blowing in the wind. If it takes the others to help fulfill or achieve their desire. So staying in the moment and staying up to the moment viewing of all factors involved will help one rather than hanging on to a desire that is not happening because the rest of the world is not in alignment with it. It doesn't mean that you have to be in alignment when you are trying to make something happen, because change can start from one person's view, one person's intention, and one person's desire. But for the change to happen, it has to have the harmony, the coming aboard of others to have it situate and anchor and take hold. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you. There's two questions here. One from Don Mason in Chicago and the other from Anna in Burbank. And I'll read them both together and then I'll read them separately because there's a connection between them. And it has to do with what is our personal power to overcome some of the plans, intentions of what we call negative to hurt us, to do us in, to kill us. Over the period of the past years, many people have brought up ideas that there is an intent to do away with a large part of the population on our planet. And that there have been, you can look this up, things like AIDS that some people say were artificially produced as part of that. And things like chemtrails, where they're dropping things on us that other people analyze and say, this is not healthy, what's being dropped. There's things in it that are detrimental to one's health. And no one has ever made any claim as to why these chemtrails are there. And if you're one of those people that doesn't know what chemtrails are, please go look it up, because this is very important for everyone that's responsible to know there's something happening in our sky. And basically, if there's airplanes going back and forth, and at first glance it looks like a contrail, which is the vapor trail of a jet plane, but it doesn't go away. And it even spreads and starts to look like a cloud. So the sky can be filled with these things. And somebody was on George Norrie talking about them the other day. The sky is filled with them. There can be multiple planes. This is somebody's very huge, huge, huge project. And people have captured, at the time that there's a lot of this going on in the sky, people have done tests in the air and found these toxic substances. So the question, I'll start off with Don Mason. And Anna, thank you for being persistent on getting your question through. And I am going to ask it tonight. It's coming up. Last night, I listened to Coast, and the guest was Evelyn Baglini, said there was a certainty of a huge fatal form of flu that would cause large-scale deaths affecting all ages with loss of body bags by this spring. And this flu will not respond to any of our medical treatments and will attack all ages. And Evelyn Paglini is kind of this person. I think she's been on Art Bell. I think she declares herself to be a witch. And I don't know about her credibility. But I do know, regardless of whether Evelyn Paglini has said this as a prediction, there have been events in the past that don't seem to have wiped us out. We're still here. And there were things that seemed like they could have been way worse than they ended up being. Things like mad cow disease, AIDS, and other things. But in any case, going on with the question, this flu will not respond to any of our medical treatments and will attack all ages. If this is true, is there anything we can do to protect our loved ones? Is this part of a design by higher intelligence to control, limit the human race? And I don't think it's a design by higher intelligence. I think they can answer that. I think it's something that's intended by lower forces, but I don't know if this prediction carries weight. So I turn it over to our sources to deal with this. Thank you.
Thank you. With these substances that are being dropped from the airplanes, which one can monitor by looking up, can check the groupings of the white trails in the sky that tend to appear over freeways, that the white sometimes appears to be dripping powder, almost a little bit like powder rain, down, dripping off the clouds. When one takes a look at that, that can be an indication that one should place as much protection as possible for themselves. If they were to get foreign DNA testing of their mouth saliva, they may be able, after driving a long distance through this chemical smog, to see foreign substances, DNA, in their saliva. So when one is driving, particularly to have a purification device in the car to purify the air, to have that in their house also, if you will listen, when you listen to your TV or to speakers, see whether their voice sounds raspy or not. As the instance of lung infection is on the rise and is one of the greatest causes of death in the United States, what are these people doing and what can be done about it? If one first of all looks up, gets a sense of what might be going on, then this is the first thing. The first step is recognition. The second step would be to get together, point it out to other people, and get it known. Maybe in the neighborhood, just getting together. Did you notice the sky right now? Did you ever think about what that is? And people don't often think about it. If there became a voice, a unified voice that would call out against it, and as time goes by, there is more of a boldness in presenting the chemical trails. Sometimes, when a voice would cry out in the papers, people are getting sick north of Los Angeles because of the chemtrails, then the chemtrails would stop for 3 months. Now, when there is a voice, when there is a person talking about it on coast to coast, they do not stop. They still continue, so there is getting more bold about the presenting, the dropping of the chemtrails. There is more concurrence within the government of the usefulness of this in the control of weather. Give us a moment. Concerning Evelyn Pagnini's prediction, there is some chance that this could be brought about, as there has been research and there has been the integrating of the research into what is actually applied and tested on certain towns, certain prison systems, and then monitoring the results. It is a long-range plan of some of those. One has called it higher forces or intelligence. We would call it, as Wynn commented, lower forces, lower reactive. And we say that again, reactive. People who are following an ancient pattern that has been laid in, and they adhere to it as if it were God, but it has been laid in as a truth, and they are following that as a truth. And if they are listening, take a good look at the reactivity, the responses in your mind. We love you as we love everyone. The responses are but a one-stop area in the moving past of these patterns that have been implanted and laid in to the greater you. The you that knows what in the overall scheme of things is correct. These patterns do not have to be listened to because they are in your mind. These patterns have force, but they do not have the substance of the oneness. They do not take into consideration that men are your brothers. There is ego here. Thank you.
Thank you. What can a human do that's living on this planet to override these elements that are trying to afflict them?
Well, one can observe, one can protect oneself when one is driving, when one is in one's house, one can get a purification system to take particles out of the air, one can get a purification system to take toxic metals out of the water. One can provide oneself with the best protection that they can in their daily life. One can get together with others, start a group, an observation group, that can work towards making known what is going on. There are only a few people that are bringing this on. There are only a few that are directing this. You are many more. And to know that you, your voice, can be heard, can make a change. If there was a viable change offered, these people would listen. Of course, one would have to, in the first few seconds, make it clear how there was a better way. Thank you.
Thank you. Final question tonight from Anna in Burbank. I've read there are certain words and sounds originating from an ancient sacred language that serve as protection. And then she gives an example of two words which can supposedly protect a person against evil when they are pronounced correctly. Is this accurate? And if so, do they protect against mind control? Thank you.
Give us a moment. Protection is important when one is under attack, a silent attack. Protection is important. So there are words. There are vibrations that can be brought in by words that form a protection, a protective layer, and can let in information, but can process negativity and make a space, much like in the invocation at the beginning, that all negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. There are words of protection in the dojos, in the martial arts. There are words that can strengthen the body against attack. So you are correct. There are words that when uttered, even when uttered, that vibrate the power chakra, the assimilation chakra, third chakra, and strengthen it so that the person has more willpower to move through whatever it is, and then aligns the chakras so that they are not merely reacting with power, but they are bringing in their expression, which aligns then with the power, and fortifying the power chakra with the expression chakra, and then aligning with the third eye, so that one becomes stronger, one has heard. Sometimes a person can suddenly get strong enough when the motivation is there to pick up a car to free someone underneath. Ordinarily, they would not have this power. They have tuned in to a strengthening of their whole chakra system and an alignment with the greater force that transmutes them for the moment into a being of great power that they can defend off, that they can protect, that they can survive. Thank you.
Thank you. I have another question, but I think I better forego it because we're out of time for tonight. And do we have final comments?
We think this is a significant topic, topic of power, as it is one of the things that is so useful to learn within the third dimension. When one does not align their system with what is best for their survival, and also considering in that the law of one and the survival of all, when one does not align themselves, they can suffer all manner of inharmonious disturbance by being taken over by the power of another, the words of another, and feeling resentful and unable to stand up with their own expression of their own opinion. And there are people that would take advantage of other people and create this effect on them when they could. It is a very broad topic, and there is much to learn. And one of the areas of great growth for individuals as they move through their life in the third density. We love you, and we are beyond words.
Thank you for being here. Thank you all for being here. And we'll see you Sunday. If you heard this call, you'll have more understanding of the importance of our Sunday call. And it's time to go because it's BBS is ready for the next show. See you next time.
Your conference recording has stopped.